Hey, Gorge, how are you?
Hi, beautiful. I'm fucking amazing. How the fuck are you?
I'm freezing.
Yes.
Because it's May. It's almost mid-May and it's like 50 fucking degrees and rainy out. But apparently Amy and I both got the teal sweater memo. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, we kind of match right now. It's very cute. I was not expecting this.
Obviously me neither. We just started psychic sistering our outfits and I'm not mad about it at all.
Not mad about it. Monique's is better than mine though, because it has a colorful rooster on mm-hmm. it, which I obviously want to call a cock because come on.
I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You cannot. Yeah. Roosters are a big thing in Key West and that's part of why I love it. It just reminds me of Key West.
Oh yeah. They run like rampant out there.
Yeah. And they sleep in the trees. Which I didn't know till the last time I went there. So when it's nighttime, you're like, where are all the roosters? Literally look up in the trees and they're all perched and they're sleeping. It's fucking wild.
That's adorable, but also kind of terrifying to me.
Oh, for sure.
You know how I feel about birds.
I know. Yeah. Yes. So you don't look in the trees at night when you're in Key
West. I won't. No. No. No, I was downtown the other day and a pigeon flew right at my face. Like,
oh, that's unacceptable.
I was in a very crowded area. There were probably 40 to 50 people around me, and did mm-mm. it choose me to fly at? Yes.
No.
My reaction was just to put up my fists, and I literally said out loud, like, I will fucking fight you.
Oh, yeah. That's fucked up, though. That was like vendetta shit.
Yes. I swear they know. They know. They're like, oh, this is the girl I'm going to fucking fly towards because she's going to freak the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like every dog. But I feel like the dogs don't have malice about it.
No.
Because I'm scared of dogs. And it's like, they know. And they're like, no, I'm going to be the dog who's going to turn it around for her. So then they're like jumping on me and I'm like freaking the fuck out.
You're like, please don't.
And they're like, please love me. And I'm like, yes, just don't.
I can't.
I do. Can I do it from afar, please? Yeah. Fuck.
I will love you more if you leave me alone right now.
Yes.
No, they know. That animal intuition, they can mm-hmm. sense it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I considered it a win because last time a pigeon flew at my face, I tried to like climb Johnny. I like jumped on top of him and I yelled, this is my nightmare.
Girl, how many times are pigeons flying to your fucking face?
More than is acceptable, Monique. Like a lot, actually. This happens to me all the fucking time and I don't like it and I don't know why. And it's very distressing to me, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah. I'm distressed just hearing about this.
It's my nightmare. I'm telling you, they love me. They love flying at my face.
I mean, it's all the bones. I get it.
The pigeons love my bones. Okay.
They do, girl. Noted. Everyone loves your bones.
Noted. What have you been up to this week? Have you done anything fun? Seen any shows?
I did. I saw two shows in a 5-day span, which is a bit unusual for me.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
It's very interesting. Because when you do a Broadway show, you have to apply for rights and get approved. That's why they can't be like two productions of like South Pacific running at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't like competition, whatever the fuck. And there's two shows in this season that both end with Huey Lewis and the News's Power of Love as their final song. And I saw both of them within 5 days of each other. And it was quite bizarre. It's quite bizarre to see that. I'm like, how is that allowed in the same season?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Huey Lewis, who has to give the okay, I'm assuming, just didn't give a fuck. He's like, I'll cash that check.
He was like, I'll take the money, please, and thank you. Sure.
Which I totally respect. One of them, the first show, I don't understand how it got made and how the story was approved, because for 2.5 hours, the whole thing of the show was to just encouraging you to give up on your dreams repeatedly.
What?
Yes. And I'm like, how the fuck is this on Broadway right now? To Huey Lewis and the News music. It was a very bizarre show. It was like, well, I got drafted into the Bruins, you know, the Major League Baseball. But there was like my dad was sick. So I gave that up to work at a cardboard factory in Wisconsin. And I'm realizing that was my dream. And
what?
You're like, what?
That's no one's dream. Stop it.
Girl, it's no one's dream. And if it is, like, that's cool. But like, and then it's like, oh, I got like a record deal that's going to make my life. But no, I'm going to stay in Wisconsin because that's my dream. I don't think so. It was very bizarre. And it's a bummer because there was a lot of amazing performances in it, amazing moments in it. And everyone in it just deserved to be in a better show than that. And then the other show I saw that ended with The Power of Love was the Back to the Future musical.
How was that?
The fucking car is amazing. It's amazing. It flies. It's amazing.
What?
Yes. Okay. Like the special effects are fucking incredible.
Damn.
Totally worth the ticket.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It's fucking great. Like it's very faithful to the movie.
Okay. It is a musical though, correct?
Yes. None of the music is memorable. You're going to leave not humming a single song other than Power of Love again, which it ends with. But it's great. Like they cut out some problematic storylines because it was the 80s. And just things to simplify for time. The guy who plays George McFly is fucking great.
Okay.
But like the projections and the special effects are fucking awesome. They're fucking awesome.
Okay. Shit. Yeah.
Like the projections and stuff, like it bleeds on. It's not just the stage. It literally goes off into like where the like theater boxes are, like where you sit. Yeah. Like it like bleeds onto that. So it's like, you know, like the flux capacitor. And you're like, what the fuck? It's like fucking rad.
That's awesome.
It's very cool. Yeah.
I was actually like looking into shows the other day because my mom's coming to town.
Yes.
Next week.
Fuck so. Yeah, Diana.
I actually looked at that and then I was like, is that any good? I was like, it seems like a weird premise.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's very faithful to the movie and it's noted. Just like the stars of the car.
The stars of the car.
And it's amazing.
Words you never thought you'd hear about a Broadway production, but okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. The special effects, like they fucking chef's kiss. It's fucking great.
I mean, the iceberg was a character in That's Titanic, right. So nothing surprises
that
me
is
anymore,
correct.
Honestly. Does the car talk or it's just like a prop that's super cool?
No, the car does talk.
Of course. Why did I even ask? Now I feel silly.
It does talk.
It does. Probably has its own musical number. Like, yeah.
You know it doesn't. And that's fucked up. Okay. That should have been a note. It'd be like, you know what? The car needs to sing.
Clearly.
Because they change it. Again, just to simplify things, to make things make sense in this version, that the car, it's voice activated and can only start with Doc's voice.
Oh, okay. So it's like the DeLorean meets Knight Rider.
Yeah. So when Marty travels to 1955 accidentally and is trying to start the car is like, voice not detected. Like, it's not the right authorized
shit.
Voice. So it's stuff like that.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll make it to a show, but I'll feel it out. I'll see what she wants to do when she gets here.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like I said, none of the music's memorable. Not going to remember a single song when you leave, but it's a lot of fun. Great production value.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was also considering going to Book of Mormon because I still have not seen that. And
I haven't seen Book of Mormon either.
Wait, really?
I know.
That genuinely surprises me.
I know. It's fucked up.
I don't think it's that fucked up.
I don't know. I try to see a fair amount. Stuff,
yeah,
you know,
and I know my mom is a big fan of South Park, so
yeah, I think Diana would fuck with some Book of Mormon.
Oh my god, of course,
yeah.
My parents went to show me the South Park movie when I was like a teenager.
That's incredible.
A little on the younger side, they forgot they hadn't like rewatched it recently, and they forgot like how inappropriate it was.
Yeah.
So literally, they put it on, and the first song came on, which is Uncle Fucker, and then they immediately paused it and turned to me and they were like, okay, we're really sorry, we forgot how inappropriate this was, so we're actually not gonna
not
watch
gonna
the
watch
rest
this.
Of it, we're gonna wait a few years. And I was like, okay, I totally get it, I heard it, so I understand. That's a responsible parenting decision.
I mean, the music in that movie is fucking great.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, but I was probably like a little
for sure, absolutely
for it. Yeah.
But it's definitely, it's one of those things when you watch it, you could tell that they're actually like huge musical theater nerds because there are several songs that you're like, this is like Les Mis that they're
this
fucking
is good.
Doing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. No, they're amazing.
Yeah. They're great. I love that. I love all that. I want you and Diana to have a great theater situation.
Yeah. I know. I'll see what she wants to do. She's not here for very long. She's only here for like 4 days, 3 nights, 4 days. So
got a lot of stuff to pack in.
Yes. We're going to see a David Sedaris reading.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Because he's one of our favorite authors. She actually turned me on to him. She was like a big fan of his before. And then she was like, you have to read this book. And I read him and I was like, this is like had me in hysterics. It's so good.
I mean, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. So I'm excited. That's my big excitement for the week. And also cleaning my apartment because it's a disaster area and girl. My mom's coming. So my mom can't come to my apartment and have it look like a pigsty. Yeah. And she wouldn't judge me. She's too sweet for that. But I would judge myself.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the best thing about having people come to your apartment. Then you're like, oh, I have to get this done. I have to do this.
Yes.
It's not been livable really at any point, like by myself, but I've tolerated it because I'm like, I don't have time to do this. Now I'm like, okay, other eyes cannot see these conditions.
Yes. But it's only me seeing it, so it's fine. But no.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot allow this. Correct.
Amazing. I guess other exciting things. Guys, we have a website, merch, and Patreon. Check all that shit out if you haven't already. Our very sexy website, which was made by Amy, anotherfuckinghorrorpodcast.com. There you can find our merch, which is amazing and so cute and creepy. And you can sign up for our Patreon, which I encourage you to do, because if you are into this content that we've been giving you, if you join the Partners in True Crime tier, which is $13 a month, you are going to get this week, the week that this drops, your very own special Patreon-only episode that's a video episode. What? So you can marvel at the bones in Amy's face.
And Monique's porcelain skin.
You know, we have all... we're a dynamic duo of faces. And also on our website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We're only going to do it once a month, so we're not going to, like, spam your fucking inbox because you have, you know... a bunch of other emails and bullshit going there all the time. I know I have close to 200,000 emails in my inbox that I haven't deleted or read. So we're not going to do that, but it will keep you abreast to all the cool shit that we got coming up. And we absolutely have cool shit coming up that we cannot wait to share with you in the next few weeks. We're so excited. Fuck. So sign up for that shit and find out, girl. Get on it.
Before everyone else. Be in the know.
That's right. First dibs, bitch.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. I think that's it. On the housekeeping front.
I love it. Housekeeping. It's my theme of the week.
Theme of the week. I love it.
Do you want to get into some spooky listener tales then?
Yes, girl. It is true. Fucking listener tales o'clock.
Yes.
TikTok. Yes. These are our favorite episodes every time we do them. And I'm sure that this is also going to be a favorite. So I'm so excited. So I'm going to start us off.
Yay.
And let's jump right into it. Hey, my lovelies. I never thought I'd have a listener tale, but OG Haley, hey, queen,
Haley!
And our friend Kate think this recent encounter I had counts. It's short, but terrifying.
Just like me. I love it.
I fucking love you. Sunday night. I just finished my shift and went to the pot shop to celebrate my weekend starting.
Yes.
Do you work? Love that. The shop is on a fairly well-lit corner and on a busy enough street with lots of nightlife happening. I parked directly in front of the open door to the shop, not worried about my safety at all. I stock up, chat with my bud tender pal. I love that. I hope that's what they're actually called.
That is. Yes, I can
That's
verify.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I love that. And head back to my car, which is literally within 10 feet of the entrance, which again was wide open and well lit. I'm feeling so secure, I unlock my car, open the passenger door to throw in the bag, walk around to the driver's side, then hop in and without a thought, lock the doors. I go to start the car and see this guy walk up to my car and try to talk to me through the cracked windows. Actually, no, this fucker is... all caps, actively grabbing the handle and trying to get into my car.
What the fuck?
Get the fuck out of here. I panic, but act all tough and tell him that I'm not an Uber and to get away from my car. He asks where I'm going. I tell him I'm not giving him a ride, and he keeps badgering me while he's trying to get into my car. The dude was deaf drunk or on something, because as I tell him again to call his own fucking Uber, he turns away and says, quote, I bet I can drive your car better than you, bitch, end quote.
What the fuck? Also, even if you can, who gives a shit? Get the fuck away from me.
Get the fuck away. Exactly. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
He walks to this teeny unlit corner and just hides. And I shout, call a fucking Uber. I drove away, immediately called my friend, and made it home safe with no problems. But I had no idea what this dude wanted. And even if he had, quote unquote, pure intentions, which no.
No.
Nah, dude.
Correct. Yes.
Nah, dude. That's not how you ask for a ride home. This is why women choose the bear. And that's from Haley.
Haley.
Ah.
I'm so glad you're so okay. Glad.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad you're okay. I literally just got chills. And for those who don't understand what that last line that Queen Haley said, there was a thing that went around the internet in the last week or so where women were asked if they were in the woods by themselves, would they rather come across a bear or come across a man they didn't know? And most women chose bear.
Yeah, I would take the bear. No absolutely. Hesitation. Yes.
And then like responses were like, well, if I got attacked by a bear, people would believe me. They wouldn't ask me what I was wearing or if I provoked it in any way. It's like, and it's like, there's a chance that the bear like won't attack me where I don't know that with a man. And I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable and it's horrifying because it's also true.
Yeah.
And men, instead of being like, that's really awful, and we that's need horrifying. To collectively
yes.
look at our life and look at our choices, and if we see behavior like this, like, call it out and, like, shut that shit down. No, instead they're like, about it.
Yes. Also, like, to all the people who pointed out, there are things worse than death. Like, I would rather be mauled to death by a bear
10,000%.
Than some of the shit that we've done stories on that men have done to women.
10,000 fucking percent.
Yeah. I'll be part of the food chain. I'm okay with that. That's nature. Yeah. Yeah.
And realistically, I think a bear is just like going for the jugular like immediately. That you're just kind of like, yeah. fuck. And then it's like, you know, I don't think it's going to be a...
No.
I think you're already checked out by the time that the yeah. mauling like really goes to town.
Yeah.
I'm assuming I've never been mauled by a bear. Thank God.
Yeah. Bear all day.
Yeah. All day, every day. Thank you, Haley. I'm
Thank
so
you.
Glad you're okay. Fuck that guy.
Creepers being creeps.
Yeah.
All the time. Ugh. There's no escaping it.
Girl. But you're a queen and we're obsessed with you and we're glad that you're okay.
Yes. And I hope you got to smoke a nice joint afterwards.
Because, like, girl, you probably fucking needed
you
it.
You needed it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Thank you again, Haley.
Thank you.
All right. So on to my first story here. So I'm changing the names around because it's a touchy topic and the guy's family doesn't like me for unrelated reasons. I knew a guy who committed murder. The victim's name was Anita Fox. There's been a few episodes of various crime shows done on it. As a kid, I had this best friend. We'll call her Stella. Stella had an older sister. We'll call her Betty. Well, I used to stay at Stella's house all the time. Betty married a man named Joe. Now, these people strive to be the best. They don't always do it legally, though, but this is the worst thing I know for a fact that they did. They wanted to be rich, to look good, to have that social influence that everyone yearns for. Joe's father, who I had met a few times, he hung out with my dad occasionally, took out a life insurance policy on this random old woman, Anita Fox. They stalked her for days, all leading up to the murder.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck, yeah. Also, if you take a life insurance policy out on somebody and then they die under suspicious circumstances that lead people to believe it's murder, you're the first fucking suspect.
Yeah, man. Like, basically, I'm not teaching you how to commit a crime. But if you get a life – like, you basically have to play the long game.
Yeah, you got to wait like years. Otherwise, it looks very suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what they call sus as fuck, I believe.
yes, it's the clinical
the technical term.
Technical yeah. term.
Anita was alone at home when Joe drove his truck to her house, his dad in the passenger seat. He waited in the truck while his dad got out, walked in the house, and stabbed her to death. They left like nothing happened. Before they were named suspects, rumors started flying. I asked Stella about it, and she said her sister hadn't mentioned anything. They were both formally named suspects not long after. They were on the run. Joe's father died by suicide by not taking his heart medication and waiting for the inevitable heart attack in his hotel room so that his family wouldn't find the body. Joe's currently in prison. I don't talk to Stella anymore. And that was from Anonymous. Anonymous. Damn. Fuck.
Why are people fucking crazy?
Yeah.
I like just truly don't understand.
It just seems like so much work. I just don't.
It is.
Yeah. The stress of like worrying about getting caught and like cleanup and everything. Like, no, no. I don't want anything to do with that.
No, I'm stressed out enough as it fucking is. Yeah. And I don't commit crimes.
Yeah. Correct. Like, just existing is stressful. I don't want that on top of it.
Girl, I can't.
No.
Thank crazy. You for that. Fuck. Yeah,
thank you, Anonymous.
Wow, that story. I had a reoccurring nightmare as a kid. Basically, I'd sleep in front of a structure that looked like a church mixed with a Greek temple. Every time, I would see myself get dragged into the oversized entrance and watch myself get pulled into the darkness. Fuck. Once engulfed, I always woke up. 18 years later, while in the military in Europe, not the continent where I grew up, I'm sent out on a recon mission for a month. We had to watch over a village that was destroyed by a landslide from atop a mountain. I found that building I had dreamt of.
No.
Girl.
Oh, the chills.
The chills. It was one of the only buildings that wasn't destroyed and stood at about 2 kilometers away facing our camp. Lots of weird things happened on that deployment, and I'm happy I didn't get closer to that building than needed. I never knew the name of the structure, but it was in Bondo, Switzerland. Anonymous.
Anonymous.
I mean, fuck.
That is so crazy and scary, but also like really awesome. If I saw that, I'd be like, oh, okay. So I'm like clairvoyant. Amazing. Cool.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
BT dubs.
But then I would look at all of my dreams differently and I would be very questioning about what was going to happen, like what I'd seen. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Anonymous.
I love that. Thank you so much.
When I was about 10 years old, my mother and a next-door neighbor named Margaret Lowry in Palo Alto, alleged to be a medium, were on the Ouija together one night. We'd often go over to our neighbor Margaret's house to do this, and my older brother would also attend, and several of his friends as well. Most evenings, we'd have a regular spirit contact that the participants would reach named Just Kim, who had all sorts of interesting things to say. On this particular evening, a different contact came through, instead of our usual contact named Kim, and spelled out its name simply John. Nothing else, just John. After a pause, a remaining message came through and was in retrospect rather chilling, for at the time we didn't know what John meant when he said these two words, "Warn Bobby." We didn't know anyone in our immediate family named Bobby, so we were rather puzzled by this John contact and what it had to convey to us all. It would become very clear that this Bobby that John was referring to was not a personal contact for us at all, but one personal to himself and was also well known to the entire United States, if not the entire world. For about a week later, we'd learned that a man called Sirhan Sirhan had assassinated Bobby Kennedy. Holy fuck.
That's so many chills.
That's insane.
That's fucking nuts.
I would never get over this.
No. How do you get over that?
No.
That's like the cocktail, like the icebreaker when you're like, we're just going to go around and do a little icebreaker. And you're just going to
fact,
right? I talked to JFK and he told me to warn his brother, but he didn't tell me it was JFK. So my bad.
I'd be like, mic drop. I'm done. Thank you. We were stunned, however, not immediately, at the time of the contact from John, for at the time, it had no particular meaning for any of us attending that Ouija session. But when the news came out of Robert Kennedy's assassination, we were left with a sinking feeling. For how could we have told anyone to warn Bobby, even if we had known who Bobby was at the time? With so many Johns and Bobbies in the world, were we contacted by John F. Kennedy warning us of his younger brother's imminent demise? We will never know for certain, but we'll always wonder. And that was from Dr. Jordan A. Mahler. Fuck. But also, were you contacted by him? Yes, I believe that you were.
I'm completely obsessed with that story.
Oh my God. Yes. That's insane.
That's fucking nuts.
Yes. Also, even if you had put two and two together and realized, like, how are you going to call the FBI and be like, hey.
I was playing the Ouija board with my friends.
I know this sounds crazy.
JFK told me to warn Bobby.
Just so you're aware.
Do with that what you will.
They would be like, okay, click. No crazy person. We're not putting any stock in what you're telling us. Thank you.
I mean, yeah. I'm completely obsessed with that, though. Thank you so much for that story.
Yes, holy thank fuck. You. And from a doctor. Fuck.
I love it. How profesh. A friend of mine and her 7-year-old son were murdered.
Jesus.
Fuck, right out the gate. There was a creepy guy who lived across the street from them. See, again, this is why women choose the fucking bear.
Yeah.
They lived in a court, so there was always kids playing out front. The neighbor developed a weird infatuation with their son, and a confrontation occurred between them and the neighbor when he wouldn't leave the son alone. One morning, my friend was home getting the kids ready for school, and the doorbell rang. When she answered it, the neighbor shot and killed her and took her son to his house. Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
He then shot and killed the son and himself. Oh, my God. Why are people so fucking crazy?
The chills, yeah.
My son actually called me to warn me not to go down the major street it was near because the whole street was swarming with cops and the SWAT team. This was before we knew what had happened. We found out an hour or so later. Allie. Holy fuck.
Oh my God. This is one of those that just makes you lose faith in humanity. Yeah.
Just, why is everyone so fucking crazy? Yeah,
it's a lot.
Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, I told you I was scrolling through like true crime headlines the other day and I like after about horrific. 30 minutes, I was like, this is really depressing.
Yeah. I clicked on like a People article about some probably like the Murdoch thing. And now every morning I get to wake up to my inbox from People magazine being like, here's the newest awful shit people have done. Good morning.
Good morning. You're like,
good morning. Good morning.
You're like, it's
a mother fucking killed her kids. And you're like, what the fuck? Why is everyone crazy?
You're like, it does not seem like a good morning. This seems awful and terrible. Just like every morning.
I mean, yeah, every fucking morning, people. And like, and I was like, I'm going to just unsubscribe to this. But then I'm like, oh, sometimes I need a story. So
yes. Just that's how they get you,
Moni. My fucking inbox. Oh, God. Allie, thank you for that.
Yes,
I'm so sorry about your friend and her son. What the fuck?
That's so sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My next story starts with fun story, which feels very weird. And after the last one. So like fun story. I just want to preface that's not
we
my
do
comment
need that.
To this. Yes.
Okay. I love yes. it.
Fun story. This involves my family, a home my parents bought. Parents decided to buy a home finally instead of renting around. This beautiful 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2-floor house was ours. It was nice. Everyone had their own room and shit. I was around 5th grade when my parents bought it. Somehow I told my mom, "Mom, I don't want to live there." She asked why. "Because I can feel ghosts there."
Mm-mm.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, thank you.
She notes that, but my father is a huge anti-fan of Halloween and doesn't believe in ghosts and all that childish stuff, you know? Occasionally over the years, when I was home alone, I swear there was someone home walking in and out of the kitchen. I would see a shadow in the light shine from the kitchen on the dining room window. It crosses the kitchen window, too. You could see both the windows through one hallway and the dining room on the other side of the house, if that makes sense. I would tell my mom about it, and it was like a lady doing it 3 to 4 times a day. No idea why. This goes on for a while. One day, my mom went in the garage to do laundry. She opens the door, sees a pale white male walk towards her. It disappears in her face. Oh my God.
No fucking
no.
thank you.
She's
no.
done with laundry for that day is the next line. Because, yes.
For the rest of her fucking
yes,
life.
I'd be like, I'm sorry. I mean, I get a pass mm-mm. now. Thank you. A man no. disappeared in my face. She told my dad later that night, and he confessed he had seen the lady in the kitchen. Oh, Mr. I don't believe. Okay.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Tragedy happened. We lost my dad when I was 19 years old. This is 8 years later after we bought the house. So my brother and I were the only two still living at home with our mother. Free rent, right? We still help out when we can. That summer, after my dad died, my brother and I were going out of state for some conference, so it would be the first time my mother would be home alone. She's on the phone with our older sister. She hears someone walking on the second floor and start going downstairs. My mom decides to set up an emergency plan for my sister to follow. She would put the phone down, go check the stranger in the house walking. If any scream was heard, my sister was to hang up and call 911 immediately. My mother goes through with the plan, the figure still walking down the stairs as she turns around to catch the perp. It stops. There's no one there. The bathroom at the top of the stairs was open, so the sun was shining through the windows, and you would be able to catch the shadow of whoever walks the stairs. Mother found no one. She knew the person was at the bottom of the stairs by the time she looked. That's all. It's quite an experience. And that's from PT. PT!
I love it.
That would freak me out.
Oh, no. I mean, I love it as a story. Yes. Like, anecdotally. I don't want that to be my life.
For me. Thank you.
No, not at all. I definitely had to have mentioned this on the podcast before, that my bestie from Miami, Christina, who's like my oldest friend, one of my oldest friends, we've known each other since we were 13 years old. She was the only person I knew, kind of like until I moved to New York, that was remotely into any sort of weird shit or ghost shit. And like, she was like my ghost hunter's friend. And that's what we were talking about. Like, when people were busy, like losing their virginities and doing drugs, we were talking about ghost hunters.
I love that so much.
That was so cool in high school. And we had this plan that after we would graduate from college, that we were going to do this like cross country trip and stay at all these like haunted hotels.
What? No, Monique, who are you?
Right. No, because we're like 16 and fucking stupid. And then we graduated from college and like whatever, got like our lives settled. And then we're like, both of us collectively came to the exact same realization of like, I mean, no, that sounds fucking awful.
That's actually my nightmare. No, thank you.
Like, no, I don't want to wake up and see some fucking like headless ghost woman. Like, no, thank you.
No.
That sounds terrible. But I love how like the two of us were so about it in high school. And then we grew up, we're like, I mean, like it wasn't one of us being like, hey, so are we doing that trip? It was like, we both like collectively just were like, we're not going to bring this up again. And then when we talked about it, we're like, no, that sounds fucking awful.
No.
I couldn't think of a worse vacation.
The follies of youth. The things you think you want to experience when you're a kid. And then when you grow up, you're like, I don't want to deal with that at all. Absolutely not.
The follies of youth. That is I think that's the episode title. That's incredible. Yes, accurate.
Oh my gosh.
I will read about it and watch a fucking reenactment celebrity ghost story about it all day long. I don't want that shit to happen to me, though.
Yes.
No, thank you.
That is an I love that for you situation. 100%.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Thank you so much for that story.
Yes. Thank you, PG. That's crazy. And I hope you moved out of that house, honestly.
Yeah. Or like priest-partied that shit or something. Yes. In college, I was sleeping in my dorm and woke up at 3 a.m. really thirsty. When I opened the door, the light from the hallway illuminated my roommate asleep in her bed. This was a little weird because she normally slept at her boyfriend's, but I just had to remember to open and shut the door quickly when I got back so I wouldn't wake her. On my way back in, I saw her turn over in bed when the light hit her. I was a little scared I woke her up, so I mumbled an apology and went back to sleep. She wasn't there the next morning because she had class, but when she got back to the dorm, I asked her when she got in last night because I hadn't heard her. That's... all caps, when she told me she wasn't there last night at all.
No.
Turns out she had gone home to her mom's place 3 hours away. She even showed me pictures she took that night to prove it. Our doors lock automatically, and I check them every night. I don't know what was in her bed that night, but I was terrified it would come back. T.
The wave of chills that just went through my body.
Literally same. I'm hoping it was a doppelganger and not just like a non-bear person.
Yeah. Or just, you know, a friendly ghost who needed a little nap. I'm okay with that. Just like, no.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Oh, no. No, mm-mm. Thank you.
No, thank you.
But thank you, T. That was
yes,
terrifying and amazing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
When my mom was a teenager, a prayer group started at her church that turned into a cult.
Oh.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
They eventually kidnapped 17 children and left town. What?
What the fuck?
I'm speechless. That's insane. Nobody knows where they are now. I think about it a lot. It's not a very well-known case, which is odd to me as it's quite intriguing. And that's from Asa. Asa!
What the fuck?
I need more information about this immediately.
Yes. All the info. What the fuck?
I'm diving headfirst into the rabbit hole. Like, what? Mm-hmm. I need to know.
Yes, we all need to know. Fuck. Thank you for that. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Thank you so much. I know. I'm literally just like stopping myself from immediately trying to Google this and find out where this was and what happened.
Girl, literally yes. Same. So this is my last story and it's a fun one. So enjoy. Not me personally, but a story I feel I must share from a friend who has worked in the morgue at the local hospital. He was preparing a recently deceased body when it suddenly sat up and gasped before falling back on the table.
No.
Girl.
Here's my letter of resignation.
And best of luck. And I quit.
Yes. No, thank you.
Obviously, my friend shit himself.
Correct. Yeah. Literally no judgments. That is the only appropriate response.
Correct. A few seconds later, it happened again.
No.
No, double quit. Mm-mm. He quickly ran to get the doctor as he believed the body was still alive. The body continued to sit up and gasp over a period of a few minutes. Even the doctor went and got the hospital chaplain. In the end, it turned out an oversight had missed the defibrillator built in the deceased body. It had been operating and trying to restart his heart. Andrew.
Oh my God, my jaw's on the floor. That is so
traumatizing.
Traumatizing and upsetting and just like really sad too. Like, oh my God. Andrew, thank you so much for that. That was fucked.
Yeah. I thought it was like when I first read it, I was like, that's funny. He just keeps, and then I'm like, and then I was like, no, this is really traumatizing.
Really traumatizing. Fuck. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. Oh my God. I can't imagine.
No.
I like that I have jobs that don't require me to be in this situations like this.
Yeah. No, I would not handle it well at all.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. No, that's so upsetting.
Yeah.
Thank
not
you.
Not fun. Again, I'm sorry.
No. This does seem like it would be a scene in like Weekend at Bernie's though.
Oh, like 10,000%. Yeah. Yes. Well, two, because that's, I don't know if you saw that cinematic masterpiece. It was on HBO all of the time, and I watched every single fucking showing. There's like a voodoo curse thing that's put on him. So he does walk around whenever he hears music to try to find like some like treasure.
I'm sorry, what?
Girl, it's bananas. It's ridiculous.
I definitely have never seen this.
That's I saw it 5,000 fucking times. And so did my brothers. And this is why I am who I am today.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous. No, I definitely haven't seen it one. And I did not know that that was a plot point of the movie.
Yeah. I don't remember why, like, why he has treasure or knows of this treasure.
Monique.
Girl.
Why are we? Like, there's
why
no
does any
reason.
Of it make yeah. sense? It doesn't. Spoiler.
Yeah, no.
It was the 80s and nothing made sense. And we were just collectively fine with it.
Everyone was on cocaine. Everything seemed like a really great idea at the time.
Speaking of the 80s, in the Back to the Future musical, the Peeping Tom moment of George McFly, basically how he meets Marty's mother, what you find out is that he was in a tree. He claimed to not sound like a creep to his children that he was looking at birds. But then what actually happens, he's a Peeping Tom and he's looking at a woman in, you know, her underwear. In the fucking musical, they sanitize the fuck out of that. It's like she's just putting like tissue she's fully clothed and she's putting tissue in her bra to make it look like she has bigger boobs. And I was like, you know what? This was a child's movie in the fucking 80s and I saw fucking lingerie. The children of 2024 can handle it.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
They're fine.
But it was the '80s that no one gave, they especially didn't give a fuck about children. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah. Kids all have phones nowadays. They can literally look up internet porn anytime they want. This is not going to be shocking to them.
Yeah, definitely not. But yeah, the '80s. What a time.
Wild.
What yes. a time to be alive. But Andrew, thank you so much for that story.
Yes, thank you. All right, now on to my last story. My two best friends and I went to the midnight premiere of Signs.
Fuck yeah. You know what? I love that movie. I think it's great. I know it has a huge problematic plot point.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck. I love it. I think it's a great fucking movie.
I enjoyed it. I also very much enjoy Scary Movie 3, which spoofs it. So
I didn't see that.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
It's probably trash. I was like, I mean, you know what you're getting with the scary movies, but I enjoyed it. Charlie Sheen's in it, so you know it's going to be insane, obviously. That alone is why the three of us rarely tell people this incident. Okay, wait. I love that. That's amazing.
Yes, I also love and respect that.
You're like, I get it. I get it. So as we were driving down a road, we traveled a million times in order to get to one of our homes. My friend's headlights shined on what we suspected was a dog on the side of the road. My friend slowed down because he feared the dog might run out into the road. This gave us time to better make out the features. The creature was on all fours, had no tail or even fur, and was a solid charcoal color. What the fuck?
The fuck?
Then, when we were maybe 20 yards away, it turned its head and looked at us.
Uh-uh.
It only had a pair of eyes and no mouth. Oh my God, the trauma. When we reached about 10 yards away, it stood up and walked into some bushes. I actually cried. I was so terrified by what we'd seen. Yes, that is a perfectly valid response, and I'm right there with you. What made it feel the most real, though, was that none of us said a single thing until we reached my friend's house. We were all so uncertain about what we'd seen that we couldn't bring it up until my friend turned off his car and looked at me. We knew then that all three of us had seen the same thing. Never knew what it could be, but we're all damn near 40 and still don't really talk about it.
Holy fuck.
And that's from Anonymous. Holy fuck is right. I get the not talking about it, but also I would have to mention this to like everyone I met.
Oh, like nonstop.
Yes.
Again, icebreaker. Nonstop.
Skinwalker? What do you think?
Maybe.
I don't know. They were seeing signs. Maybe it's just a weird ass alien.
Maybe. Because portals are real.
Portals are real. But that is absolutely terrifying. My brain is buffering because it's still trying to process this information.
Heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies indeed. Thank you so much for that, Anonymous. That was a hell of a story to end it on.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. This was such a great episode. We fucking love these episodes.
It's the best. I love hearing everybody's spooky, creepy stories.
Yeah. Again, like,
love that for you.
Happening to us.
It's love not that for me, but I'm so happy to hear about it.
Absolutely. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for all your stories. This is another fucking horror podcast. I'm Monique Sanchez.
And I'm Amy Traden.
You can find me on the gram at pinupgirlmo.
You can find me at lobotomy, and that's lobot period Amy.
You can find our show on the gram at another fucking horror podcast. Check out our website, anotherfuckinghorrorpodcast.com. There you will find sexy, cool pictures of us. You will find our merch, which is adorable and so cute. You will find our Patreon, which you definitely want to subscribe to because there's going to be a brand new video episode. The people have spoken. They fucking want to see our faces, and we're going to give it to you, kids. I'm so excited for that extra episode. And definitely while you're there, also sign up for our newsletter because you're going to find out what we've been working on. And we're so fucking excited to share all the excitement with you. Oh my God. So excited. Fuck.
Yay.
We love you so fucking much. Thanks for being rad as fuck. As always, keep it cute.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.